Welcome to the Run Academy podcast, the show where we talk everything running. Join me each week as I have special guests that share their inspirational running journeys, as well as give you practical advice and tips on how to run your best. If you're ready to transform your body and your mind through the power of running, this is the show for you. Hey there, and welcome to the Run Academy podcast. It's Coach Ian here. This is episode number 4, and I'm speaking with Craig and Bobby Skrinnick, and I can't tell you how excited I am to have this conversation because I met Craig and Bobby, I think it was 2016, at a race that I put on in Airdrie, and these guys were in the middle of an epic running journey, and I've been able to be fortunate enough to cross paths with them a couple times. So this has been a conversation I've been wanting to have in more detail, and I've been doing some homework on these guys and really getting to understand sort of their running journey. So I'm so excited to have you guys on the show. I've got Craig and Bobby. They're in separate rooms in their house because I want them to both sort of have their own perspective and sort of share, because they're definitely a unit here when it comes to the running journey, but I really want to hear from both of you. So Craig, Bobby, welcome to the Run Academy podcast.
Thank you, Ian.
It's so good to have you guys on. I'm really excited because, like I said, I met you guys a while ago, and I was like really inspired when I got to know what you guys were up to and sort of the running journey that you've been on. And we're going to get into that in this episode. What I would love to start with, though, first, just so people can get a sense of who you are and kind of where you come from, I always like to start off with just tell us a little bit about who you guys are. You know, what sort of passions do you have outside of running?
Okay, so I guess I'll start. So I'm Craig. I'm 47 years old. Married to Bobby. We have two teenage kids now, 16 and 13, a boy and a girl. In terms of my personal life for work, I'm a manager at a company that I've been working for 22 years now. So I've been there quite a while, and for fun, I like running. That's for sure.
that's a given, yeah, that, eh?
Yeah. There's only so much time that you have in your life, in your spare time. If you want to say that you actually have spare time, which you truly don't, you have to make time for things that you want to do. But the main thing that I do during that time is run.
Awesome. 22 years. Two kids, you're a busy man, and I'm sure, Bobby, you're like even busier because you're probably doing, you're holding things together too. You're a busy lady as well. Tell us about yourself.
I am an education assistant at in kindergarten. I've been working there for the last 7 years as of yesterday. In my spare time, I love to craft. My life is so busy. Like, there isn't a lot of spare time. We don't have time for TV. We don't have time for much other than exercise and work.
Well, you stick a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, a husband, a job. I can see that there's not a lot of spare time in there. And as we start to unpack your running journey here, I think people are going to appreciate the fact that you don't have a lot of spare time, you guys, because when you're not doing just life, you're putting down some serious mileage. So I wanted to kind of start there because I know that you set a challenge in 2006, if I believe I've done my homework right, where that's when you sort of started your running journey. So tell me how you got into this, because the challenge you guys set out to, I think you guys were in your early 30s, one was 34, one was 31, and you ran your first half marathon at that point, and then you set out for this goal to run 50 marathons by the time you were 50. Am I right on that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We actually got a treadmill for Christmas 1 year. We got some Christmas money, and we thought, let's buy a treadmill. We were not super active before that. Craig was active before he met me, and I was lazy. I was not somebody who did exercise. I was overweight when we met, and when he asked me to marry him, I decided that I was not going to walk down the aisle overweight, and so I lost about 50 or 60 pounds.
Wow.
And sadly, none of that was through exercise. I just followed Weight Watchers. But since then, you know, have kept off my weight through exercise, of course. But anyway, we decided to buy a treadmill for Christmas for ourselves with the money, and it was either going to be a really expensive clothes hanger, as many people's treadmills end up doing, or it was going to change our life. And thankfully it was the latter, and it definitely changed our lives. And after our half marathon that following June, we were just wondering where the next race was. Like, we just couldn't stop at one. And here we are many, many half marathons later.
So you bought it. So if I get this right, then you got your treadmill at Christmas, and then by June you ran a half marathon.
That's right. That's
correct.
That's crazy right there. Like you say, so many people, like, they just get the treadmill and it becomes a very expensive clothes hanger, hits the garage sale the next summer. You guys went from like, we got to do something, to let's get the treadmill, to like, we're running a half marathon. And then it very quickly escalated. So Craig, tell us about, how did you kind of get this idea in your head about, you know, okay, let's do 50 marathons or half marathons before we're 50 years old? How did that come so fast?
Well, it was kind of interesting. Bobby might be able to share a little more on this topic, but when we were at that first half marathon, she was in the porta potty line before the race. And I think she had heard somebody had run 3 or 4 half marathons. Is that correct, dear?
It was 6.
Okay, 6 half marathons. And she was just absolutely blown away by these people that it was going to be their 7th half marathon. And so when we finished, I guess we realized that, you know what, as crazy as it seemed, and as such, it seemed like to be such a big thing to achieve, that we realized in the end, you know what, maybe it wasn't really a big deal and it wasn't that hard. So then Bobby, and she didn't say, okay, let's shoot to do 10 half marathons. She went big, and she decided that let's go for 50 half marathons before we're 50. Because, yeah, we're both in our early 30s. There's no reason why we couldn't do that. We thought it was still a big challenge. And as long as we did I guess it would have been, I don't know, 3 or 4 a year, we should be able to achieve it. So that's kind of how we start off. We did 1 the first year, which is the Manitoba half marathon, which I might add was kind of ironic and pretty special in itself, because since we were both born and raised in Winnipeg, we got the chance to run in front of our friends and family. But the other thing that was kind of unique was 10 years to the day. So it was on Father's Day in 2006 that we ran the race. 10 years to the day, I had been registered to run that exact same half marathon. So 10 years earlier. But I didn't run it. Huh. It was pretty weird situation. So I was still living in Winnipeg. 1996, I came out to Alberta. And that was the year, obviously 10 years earlier, that I had just got a job and I was going to move out to Alberta. And it happened to be that weekend that I was leaving. So I never ran that half marathon. So I went 10 years without running a half marathon, and just knowing in the back of my head that I had registered for that one and I had trained somewhat. I was quite a bit younger, so you didn't really train like you, like when you get older, you put more focus.
Train for a half marathon when you're 20s, do you?
Yeah, no, I think I was running, I think it was like 3K here, 4K there, and then I was going to run this half marathon. So maybe it was a blessing in the end.
Probably
that
a
I didn't
good thing.
Run it.
Because your memory of running would have been so tainted after that. This thing's stupid.
Probably.
No doubt.
You're exactly right. So yeah, that's where it came from. It was actually Bobby's idea. She had the big master plan, and I'm up for any challenge that she wants to pose for us. So that's where it came
from.
And
she swings for the fences, Bobby. I'd love it, because that's huge. Like, most people don't go from treadmill to half marathon, let alone let's go for 50 of these babies. Like, that is so cool. And then I believe, was it not in Manitoba where you ran your 50th half marathon then?
That's yeah, we correct. Thought that if we could start or finish where we had started, what an amazing thing that would be, because our original plan was we were going to do 50. However, we were well under the age of 50. And so we thought we might as well keep going. But it was pretty cool because our kids joined us on our 50th. And then at that point, they were 10 and 12. And they ran the half marathon with us when we did our 50th. And again,
oh my gosh,
all of our family was there and our friends were there. So it was just pretty cool to finish where we started.
No kidding. It must have been like so surreal for you to, I imagine when you first set that goal of like 50 by 50, you're like, man, this is so lofty. And you absolutely like crushed that. And to go back to where you got that first one under your belt, that must have been pretty special. And like you say, your family's there. You can really, people have probably sat and watched you guys do this and have been in awe of you doing it, right?
It was an amazing day. Like, it truly was amazing. I just get goosebumps every time I think about it. Like, it seemed like such a big goal, and then to actually achieve it was extra special. And it was captured by global TV, which was really cool. I think I probably sent you a link to that video. And they did a really good job of it. And I'm not going to lie to you, I've gone back, oh, probably 200-300 times and just watched it over and over again, just to relive that memory of what happened that day. Like, the day, it was just beautiful. Everything was beautiful about the start of the day. And we had even run into this, I don't know if you remember, Bobby, but we ran into this, this woman that had come out of her car. And we ran into her in the parking lot, and she comes up to us and said, "Are you the family that's running like your 50th half marathon? Like, are you the family? And these are the kids that are doing it?" And we said, "Yeah, we are." And she was like, she said to us, "You don't know how much I didn't want to run this race and how sick I felt and how I just was thinking about you and your little girl, like your kids, and this is what brought me here, and it really helped me get here."
It's so cool to, because I actually went and watched that clip myself, and I've been sort of tracking you guys for a while too, and I got misty when I watched that too. I can't even imagine what it'd been like to be parents with your kids, you know, because your kids obviously have watched you, you know, work through the ups and downs, because I'm sure it hasn't always been like rainbows and sunshine as you've gone through the training and the physical demands of what it takes to do what you guys are doing. It must have been so powerful. And I remember I did watch that. And like I say, it was just so cool. Not only the people that, you know, walk up to you in the parking lot, but I imagine there's a whole lot of people that you just impacted massively by seeing your determination and what you guys sort of have put your mind to. And I think that's the cool thing about running, is that some people will connect to you as, you know, fellow runners going, "Hats off, you guys are so awesome." And then other people that don't run or will never run a step can still do the same thing, go, "My gosh, you have changed me by what you guys are doing." And I think the cool thing about your story is that you're doing it as a couple. And so I wanted to ask you guys, what impact has this sort of challenge had on your marriage?
Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Early on in our marriage, it was tough because the kids were young, and so we didn't get to spend a lot of time together. Craig would go out for a two-hour run, and then I would go out for a two-hour run because we couldn't do it together. The kids were just too young. So that was challenging. But now that the kids are old enough to stay home alone and stuff, it's amazing that we can bond together by going for a run. You know, some couples go out for supper, and we go for a run. And it's pretty cool that we can just head out the door together and do something that drives us both.
Talk to me a little bit about sort of the some of the bigger challenges you guys have had, because I can imagine this hasn't always been like the easiest thing. Like you say, there's the time piece, and when your kids are little, you have to figure it out. You know, being a runner sometimes can be a very selfish thing, so you got to find the time to do that. But what are some of the other challenges, like maybe physical, you know, injuries or things like that you've had to work through as you've gone through your training over the years?
In terms of running itself, I have not had any issues with injury. It's funny because I've torn my calf, both calves, one, like my left once and my right once, and it had nothing to do with running. I was playing floor hockey one time, and I was playing road hockey the other time. But I found every time I had a tear, it would take quite a while to build yourself back up. And so I was finding that over the years, I was getting, as I was getting younger and I was training more, I was fine, or younger, older.
I was getting, what is the secret?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. People, right? I was finding that as I was getting better, and I was getting faster, suddenly I would have an injury, and then it would felt like I was going back to square one. And that happened, it happened a couple times for me, because I'm a very competitive person, and I really strive to, I always think that I can go out there and get a new personal best, even as I get older. It's not happening. I'm not, I've got to be honest about that. But I always feel that I can, and I have the potential to do it. And if I do the right training, I'm sure I can. But yeah, it's been hard whenever I have had these injuries, because it takes me a while to get back to the level that I was at before.
Well, and I imagine you're not getting a lot of rest time either, because of the fact that, you know, it's not just something, even as much time as you guys have sort of spent and as much mileage as you've probably put down, you still can't, you got to put the miles to just toe the line of any given half marathon. So how about for yourself, Bobby? Have you had injuries sort of get in the way of your training over the years?
Yeah, I've had some bouts of plantar fasciitis, and I've spent many sessions with physiotherapists and doing some dry needling and stuff, but nothing major. Like, we've both been quite blessed with lack of injury. I find, though, in the last year or so, my knees are starting to hurt. And in talking with my doctor and going over my family medical history, she feels that I potentially have osteoarthritis. And so, yeah, my knees are acting up a bit, but nothing, a little tape's not going to help while I run. Nothing's going to stop me.
That is a complete runner's attitude.
All I could say.
Yeah. No, well, and that's a great segue, because that's what you quickly changed to. If 50 wasn't enough, you quickly got to, you exceeded that goal by quite a bit, and then you changed it to 100 by the time you're 50, right?
That's correct. I think it was probably the day after we did our 50th that we were like, yeah, maybe we should do 100. We're still young.
Love it. So where are you guys at right now? Like, you're in the 90s now, right?
We are. We will, on December 29th of this year, down in Texas, we will run our 92nd. And then later, we will run our 93rd, also in Texas. So
that is so amazing. So do you guys have your like last 7, 6, whatever after that, I guess, do you have those already mapped out? Do you know kind of what the icing on the cake is going to be? Are you still kind of figuring those last ones out?
Oh, we've got it planned out. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, is it secret?
No, it's not. A lot of them are the same local ones, but our 100th will be the Calgary Marathon. And our hope is to have 100 friends join us. So,
oh, I love it.
Yeah. Even if it's...
Okay, if you'll let me, I'll come run it with you too.
Please. Absolutely. Yes.
That would be so amazing.
Yeah. So,
in your backyard. Very cool.
Yeah. We kind of thought we would go back to Winnipeg just to finish where we started, but we don't have 100 friends that would run in Winnipeg, whereas here, our community is runners. Like, those are our friends, or people that are runners now, right? So...
No kidding.
This would be the best place to do it.
I love the fact that... And that's just another great example of how you guys are, using your running for good, and you're taking it beyond yourself, because, it's such a cool thing where you can have an impact on the people around you. And I bet you in that 100 people that will step up to the line, there's probably going to be a good chunk of them that are not going to be ever thinking they would ever have ran a half marathon. And because of you guys, you might start something in them, or you might give them a sense of their true potential, or whatever might sort of, you're going to have an impact on those people. So my hat's off to you for that, because, I'm sure people watch you guys go, man, if these guys can do this, like, what can I do? Like, maybe I should think of something epic to do with myself. So that's just cool. I get chills when I listen to that because I think it's going to be so – have you guys visualized sort of that last day? Like, you know how emotional it was in on the 50th? Have you sort of visualized what 100 is going to feel like?
I think it's going to feel actually more emotional because I think that I know we've done this second half much faster than the first one. It took us 9 years to do the first 50, and then now we're sitting about 3 years in, and we've done 41 of the last 50. But I think that we both want to move on to other things. We have other goals or ideas in mind that we want to do. So I want to get through this. I want to get to the end, and I think that we are, at least I'm going to feel pretty emotional over actually completing it.
You're not going to say, you know what, on second thought, let's do 200, no. Babe. We're going to do it. No? That's it?
No.
Oh, man. So on that note, what sort of things do you have next to, you know, what's on your mind beyond the 100? What's sort of the next big thing? Or is it like, you know what, I just need to eat some chips and sit on my couch. I know that's not going to happen, but what's your next big thing or the next goal for you running wise after the 100, both you guys?
So Bobby and I have done 2 half Ironmen. So we've done that. I wanted to get a couple more of those in, but my ultimate goal would be to do a full Ironman. I really want to do that. I've been training quite a bit. Again, this last month I've been getting back into the whole triathlon frame of mind. I would love to give it a shot at qualifying for Boston, but I need to change my whole strategy. We've been doing too many races. We're pretty much doing a race every month. And I mean,
yeah,
it's enough time, I think, for your body to recover, but it's not, I don't think you would know better than anybody, Ian. I would definitely need to change my whole approach to things.
There's definitely a difference between, you know, being able to sort of physically handle what you're doing versus like really sort of prepping for a really fast specific race for sure. But the cool thing is you've got so much race experience under your feet and so much mileage, that in itself is, you know, going to get you so much farther down the road than a lot of people. So that's going to be a really big, big help for sure. But yeah, it sounds like, you know, you're not going to sit around for any stretch and just kind of wait for something else, but it's kind of cool that you still got some, you know, okay, next is going to be this. We're going to, you know, you've got some things planned and I think that's going to be something that's going to be really cool to watch you do as well. So how about for yourself, Bobby? Do you have sort of like, after you hit that 100, what's next for you? Or, you know, what are you thinking about your own running journey?
Yeah, I can't wait to watch Craig do all those things.
I love it.
I don't know. Given my knee situation, I love biking. So I would love to just do more of that and kind of give my knees a bit of a break from running. So we'll see.
Yeah. That's cool.
I don't have big plans like Craig does.
Well, it sounds like you're the one that started this whole train of thinking, like, hey, let's get a treadmill. Hey, honey, let's run 50 marathons. I think it was kind of you that sort of egged on this whole thing. So, you know, I think that's Craig's excuse. If you ever go, hey, what are you, you're running too much. Like, I think Craig could probably play the, hey, I didn't, you started it. So I'm not trying to start a fight here, but.
That is cool. One thing. Sorry, you had asked earlier about, you know, complications or whatever that's struggles. If I ever have a time where I'm lazy or he ever has a time where he's lazy, it tends to impact the other person. So if I'm like, yeah, I don't feel like going for a run tonight, he won't go. He has since in the last little while, I kind of said, you know what? You do what you need to do. I'm going to do what I need to do. And it's working for both of us. But there have been times where it's like, yeah, I don't feel like it. And we both kind of sit and eat chips.
You know, and sometimes you just got to eat some Lay's potato chips, you know? I think that's okay. And the cool thing, I think, is that a lot of times I think if you're the only person in the house that's a runner or if your spouse doesn't run, a lot of times the other person doesn't quite understand, you know, what you're going through physically and mentally. So that must be something that you guys really can appreciate from each other, is the fact that you both, you know, you might not be exactly in the same headspace at any given time, but you certainly can appreciate what the other person is kind of got in their mind. Hey,
you're not kidding. Like most of our, probably all of our friends who are runners are in relationships, but their spouse doesn't run. So we're very blessed that both of us run, so that we get it. Like if he needs to go for a run and, you know, get things off his mind, he goes.
So when you guys walk into like the running room, for example, like they must just love to see you guys coming in, and with all the money you must have spent on shoes and gear over the years. So they must love seeing you, not to mention how much you've spent like on race fees and like the cost of actually doing all these races. It must have been pretty crazy so far.
I don't think I really want to think about that. Think of all the holidays we could have taken.
No kidding.
It's been a lot. And when we register for a race, we typically register times four, because the kids will more often than not do a 5K while we're running a half. So yeah, it's times four, you know, times.
No, I mean, kidding.
They didn't run every race, but, you know, say the kids have run 50 of the 91 that we've run, it gets pretty expensive.
And their kids have ran that many so far?
Probably, yeah. As I'm looking at all of those medals in her room right now, yeah.
That's crazy. Like, I mean, 16 and 13, and they've ran that many half marathons. Like, think of the impact you've had.
5Ks, not half marathons.
Oh, I thought they ran like every half marathon. Well, even 5Ks, that's ridiculous. Like my kids cry if I make them run down to the mailbox. They're sprinters, so they're not really excited about going for anything longer than like 100 meters at a time. So that's insane. How have you found, like, you know, as parents, like, what have you seen a change in your kids? Have you seen the impact that you've had on your kids by having them, you know, as they've watched you go through this grueling task? Have you seen anything in them, Kate?
Sorry, go ahead, Ken.
I was going to say, they're not fans of training. That's one thing we've learned for sure. They don't do much training at all, except for when they did the half marathon when we did our 50th, which was pretty cool because we would take turns actually running with the kids, and we'd have like run dates where Bobby would go out with our daughter and I'd go out with our son, and then we'd switch the next weekend and do our long runs together. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome, but
typically no, they don't train. I think I'm pretty sure they enjoy the races themselves. They'll typically place in their age categories, and they keep saying they want to do another race. When we register for a race, they typically will sign up for the 5K. So I feel that they enjoy that part, but I think they also like winning, right? So I think that kind of helps.
That's a nice balance, though. And, you know, the cool thing is like, I just, you know, like most kids at that age are not like, you know, in the same, they don't love to put themselves into that sort of physical torture. But I think it's, you know, fast forward, like imagine the impact you're going to have on them when they're a little bit older in life and they've got sort of that experience, and even the quality time you've had, like you say, sort of having run dates. I think that is so cool. Such a great way to be able to stay active, but also include your kids and your whole family into this journey. So good for you guys. I think that is so, so cool. Are they going to run the 100th half with you?
Yeah, for sure.
I was going to say, that seems fitting. They almost, there's like, it's non-negotiable. Like,
yeah,
kids
really lace up. Yeah. No choice.
That's,
they
so
will.
Cool.
We need 100 people, right?
Yeah. They're two out of the 100 more. There you go. So what about other people in your circle? Like, I'm sure people at work and your family and so friends around you that are non-runners have sort of watched your sort of running journey. What sort of impacts have you had on those people around you? What, you know, the people that don't have anything to do with running, have you really seen sort of that ripple out to the people around you?
Absolutely. I have a few friends that have said, if she could do 50, like, surely I can do one. And nobody ever stops at one. So these friends I've seen do three or four, and, you know, some have kind of decided, yeah, I'm good. Like, I've proved I can do it. But the fact that they were those people that said, I could never run a half marathon. I can't believe you've run 50 or 60 or whatever. And then later have come to do their own. And we have quite a few friends like that have said, I could never. And then they did. We're just average people that took up a sport and maybe took it a bit to the extreme, but we're no super athletes by any means. And to say that if we could do this, anybody could do this is absolutely true.
So obviously there's a fit, you know, the physical demand is there and there's a huge physical element that comes into play with this. Talk to me a little bit about your mental approach to running. How big of an impact has your mental focus been, your mindset on being able to do this?
Running for me is 90% mental. So it's a tough game out there. Like, I remember there was a race. It was probably like maybe our 40th half or whatever. It was Calgary Marathon. And for whatever reason, Craig decided to run with me. And we were almost at the finish line. He's like pushing me to get under 2 hours and 10 minutes. And it's hard, like, when you're mentally, like, I just wanted him to leave me alone. And your brain tells you, you can't. And you know you can. Your body will outlast your brain by far, I believe.
And it's funny. I bet you there's been, you know, some really big highs and some big lows. Like, you know, like, what about, like, we talked a little bit about this cruise ship thing too. Like, running a half marathon on a cruise ship is something you guys did. I think it was something like 141 laps or something. What's the deal with that one?
Well, that one was kind of special. I think it was supposed to be our 20th half marathon. And we were down in Galveston, Texas, and we decided, not unlike many of our other vacations, when on a vacation, we should see if there's a local race happening and see if we can fit it in while we're down there. And that's what our plan was. We went for a 5-day cruise, our first cruise ever. We went with my in-laws. And I believe we were supposed to get back on the Saturday, and the race was scheduled for the Sunday. And given that time of year, it was February, there was issues with fog out on the Gulf, and the cruise ship couldn't actually make it to shore. So we were questioning whether or not we were going to be able to actually run the race in Galveston. It got to the point where it was the night before the race, and we realized there was no way we were going to get into shore in time. I had this crazy idea. We sat down at dinner time, and I said to Bobby, I said, "You're probably going to say no."
this never ends.
That's
well.
Exactly how we started.
It is exactly how I said, but, you know, we've been training through the winter. We've been running outside in blizzards. We've put all this effort into training, and we're not going to be able to run that race tomorrow. What do you think of us running the half marathon on this boat in the morning at the same time that the race was going to happen? So Bobby said, "Sure. How many laps is that going to be?" And I told her, "Yeah, it's 141 laps around the deck, like on the running track."
And now, how did you know that, Craig? Did you were obviously like doing some behind the scenes calculations.
I was. I went, yes. And I saw the track, and I saw how long it was, and I think it was 150 meters, if I'm not mistaken. So I figured out how many laps that would be. And so, yes, the exact time that the race was going to start, we went up top. It was 7:30 in the morning. It was fog everywhere. All you could see was fog. And we lined up at our little makeshift start line and started running around the boat. And and our kids came up there, and my father-in-law and mother-in-law were up there too. Father-in-law was counting laps. He was sitting on a bench as we went around the track. And our kids were serving us water. They had like a tray with water glasses on it, so it was like our water station. It was pretty cool. So what was really special was, as it was as we got on and we had like 30 laps to go, we started having a number of people that were kind of crowded around wanting to know what was going on. And they just kept building and building the number of people that were watching us as we were finishing this. In the distance, all around us, the fog was lifting. And you could see ships, boats, all kinds of different watercraft anchored all around us. It was such a cool experience.
Oh my gosh, like a holy moment. That's insane. And so 141 laps. So they obviously had like a little preset running track on the boat, but definitely not intended for half marathoning, just a couple quick laps before breakfast probably type of scenario, hey?
Yeah.
I have this visual of, you know, your father-in-law there, you know, losing count at like 70 something. It's like, oh crap, what was that? 70, 71 laps?
And that's why every time we went around, we pressed our Garmin to say it's a new lap because I couldn't trust it.
No kidding. Oh my gosh. That is such a cool story.
Yeah. I was going to do it and count it as a half marathon. It was going to have to be the right distance. So I had to make sure we had enough laps.
It has to be legit. Yeah. No doubt. Very, very cool. And again, like think of the people that sort of like you say, you just started to draw this crowd. They're like, they're still running out there. What are they doing? That is such a neat story. Very, very cool. Way to improvise too. Like, oh man. Did the race at least, that you didn't make it to, send you a medal? So you had that for your collection?
No, but I was in contact with the organizer of the race because she had asked me, because she was expecting us actually to show up at the start line and she was just going to give us our bibs at that point because we had this vision of us running off the cruise ship and running to the start line because we thought there was a chance we might get there just at the nick of time. And so I was in contact with her and she was like, She felt bad that we weren't able to do it. And she said, I'm going to send you your money back. And she even sent us a race shirt, the actual race shirt that everybody got. So, and then she hooked us up with they had their media coverage and they wanted to write a story on what we had done. And of course, with the internet and the way it is, once a story gets out there, you start getting contacted by other people. And we got contacted by some French magazine out of France that wanted to do a story on us. So yeah, it's, but that's one thing that I've said to Bobby is I really, and I think she feels the same way too. At some point that would be one of those after we've done our 100, something we like to just go back and just finish something that we weren't able to finish and actually run that race.
No kidding. That could be a fun way to do it. Hey,
yeah.
Well, it's too bad you couldn't have ran. I thought, wouldn't that have been epic if you could have, like, I think that'd have been a pretty dramatic entrance if you'd have ran off a cruise ship onto the course. Yeah. You know, had some doves and balloons released as you came off the boat. And that's what you should have done. We should have. Oh, man. I love how you improvise there. So, so cool. Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you guys to share, I ask all of the people I talk to, is to share with us is, what advice, and I'd love for you both to weigh in on this one, what advice would you guys have for people that are just starting running? Because a lot of people, I think, kind of like yourselves, right, get later into life and they decide they want to start running. What's sort of the biggest lesson that you could give to someone, or a tip, advice, whatever, if you were talking to someone that's like a new, brand new runner just looking to start kind of like you guys did, what advice would you give someone?
I would say, yes, it's going to hurt at the beginning. Yes, it's tough, but you can do it. We were just average people. We are just average people that, went from the couch to a half marathon 6 months later. And if your drive is strong enough, you can do anything.
How about you, Craig? What advice do you have for new runners?
I mean, nowadays with the way people are with their technology, with cell phones, with all that stuff, there's so many things that we do in our life that we're giving up on things by spending so much time on that. And I think it's really important to get out there and get a better balance and erase some of that negative stuff that we're doing to our bodies. Just myself at work, I was thinking about this the other day. I got a typical Garmin type thing on my watch. that keeps track of my steps. And during the day at work, I have an office job, or desk job. There's many days that I'll come home from work and I won't even have 1,000 steps by that point. So it is so important to find a way to get out there. If you're not able to do it during your lunchtime or coffee time, at least do it when you get home. And that's where a majority of my training happens, is in the evening.
And one of the things I think I've learned listening to you guys talk and just sort of your whole approach to running is don't overthink it. Just get out there and go. You know, you go from like, we need to do something, let's get a treadmill, to like, let's go to this next, you know, you haven't really, I think maybe if you had thought too long, you probably wouldn't have done what you've done. But I think that's the lesson too, is just don't overanalyze it. Just take that first step and let it go. And look what happens. You set this big, huge, lofty goal of 50 marathon or half marathons. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, that we already exceeded that. So set the next big, scary goal is 100. So I think that's something that I've learned from you guys, is set a big, scary goal. And once you get at it, it's actually not maybe as scary and big as it is. You just have to start moving towards it. So I really thank you for sort of sharing your journey. Like, we could keep talking for hours and hours here, because I know after that many races, you would have some epic, epic stories and some fun stories that I know I want to respect your guys' time. So I wanted to sort of spend this last couple moments here before we wrap, is just talk about how you're giving back in a different way. And you're taking over a race in Chestermere where you live. I think it's called Loop Around the Lake. So maybe we could sort of close there. Talk a little bit about sort of that. That's something you're now being involved in. You're taking over this race and sort of giving back to the running community with that. So tell us about that event. What is it? When is it? And if someone wants to sort of get in your backyard, tell us about that event.
So the Loop Around the Lake, it'll be the 11th year of the race. Started 10 years ago. It's on June 22nd, 5K and 10K, as well as a 1K kids run. We've had special relationship with the previous organizer of that race. He did a great job of organizing and starting that race up, bringing an actual race to Chestermere, because we didn't have any races prior to that. And he put a lot of effort into it over the last 10 years. So that was his goal. He completed his goal and he was ready to hand it off to somebody else. And to me, it made a whole lot of sense for it to be a couple like us that would get involved with it. We've had so many people over the years that have supported us at races, and they've put on races and they've volunteered. And you can't say enough positive things about volunteers and what they do for us, so then we can actually participate in these races. So now we feel that this is an opportunity for us to give back.
So cool. And you can probably recruit some of your 100 runners to join you on your last half marathon. So there you go. So what I'll do is, I'm assuming there's a website for this run that people could check out if they're interested, correct?
Not yet. It's coming.
Okay, well then once you have the website up, and when people can actually register for that, send it to me and I'll add it to the notes of this podcast whenever you have that, because it's Chestermere, Alberta, and I know there's a lot of people that love to sort of go out there and just sort of hang out with you guys. I'm assuming you're not running. I'm assuming you're just going to be there just to kind of organize it, but I think that's cool. It'll be great to see what you guys can do with that event, because you've done many, so you know exactly sort of some of the ins and outs, some of the things that work really well. So I'm sure you'll make that into a really cool family event and just a really special opportunity for people to come out and just, you know, run those distances. I love the factors like the shorter distances, get the kids involved. That's something you've obviously, you know, been big advocates for in your own family. So very, very cool. Loop Around the Lake. That's June 21st, you said, correct?
June 22nd.
22nd. See, I'd have been early. So, okay, yeah, 21 kilometers.
And yes, you're correct. We won't be running it. We'll be running it, but we won't be jogging in it. But we will be running a half marathon the next day, which is part of the reason why we're not running in it too, right?
Man, you guys just don't know how to slow down. That is so cool. Yeah, well, there you go. It's going to be interesting for you guys to be on the other side of the race, and I'm sure it'll be. I that's where I met you guys, was in the Legacy Run, a run that I put on in Airdrie, and that was we've done it 2 years now, and and we're still haven't figured this thing out. It's there's so many little things and logistics. You're like, oh, I had no idea. And you just really appreciate how much work and volunteerism goes into these events. So I'm sure you guys are going to do an awesome job. So we'll watch for that, and we'll watch for the website and place to register when we can in the coming months. So yeah. So guys, I just want to say thank you so much as we kind of come up on our time here. I just want to say how much inspiration you guys have given me, and I know our audience will really connect to you. I've known about your guys' journey for a while, but it's not until recently when I really got to know a little bit more about sort of what's behind, what's driving you, sort of what you stand for and why you're doing this, that is so, so powerful. And I just want to thank you for the inspiration you've put out there, the impact you're having on your kids, your family, the people around you. It's very, very special what you guys are doing. And I think you need to be super proud of what sort of a legacy you're leaving here, because it's significant. So thank you so much for taking the time. I know you guys have a super busy family, hockey and kids and dance and all sorts of stuff going on and work. And so thank you for carving out some time to chat with us. And I look forward to watching you finish out the 100, and I'm going to, I mark my words, I'm going to toe that line with you guys when you hit 100. So you let me know, and I would love to sort of watch you guys cross that line for the 100th time. So thanks so much for joining me, you guys. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ian.
Thanks for taking the time, Ian. Appreciate
you got it. It's been a lot of fun. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening to the podcast this week. If this has blessed you in any ways, if you enjoyed this, I'd love it if you like, share, tell somebody about it. Each week we're putting out podcasts, talking to great people like Craig and Bobby, sharing some running journeys, sharing tips, and helping you to run your best. So have a great week. Happy running, and we'll talk to you guys next week.